tonight because I plan on you using them. So, just save me some work. Praise the Lord, Sister Rhonda. You got to say something for the Lord tonight? Well, sister, you just go for it. Your daughter confirmed God's message. I have really, really prayed and sought God heavily over what He wanted His people to hear. You belong to Him. You're His children. Now, I'm telling you tonight, I know that God chose this message for this congregation. You get out of it what you will. It came from Him, I promise you. Brother Raymond and the youth up here confirmed it last Sunday night, and I'd already had the message. Brother Grissom confirmed the message last Sunday night, and I'd already had the message. And I fought with it, and I fought with it. But God is going to have His way. That's what's important tonight. I want to talk about a message that can't be stopped. I want to talk about the great church, His church, the calling that God has on His people. We're in a day and hour where the enemy is fighting us so hard. He doesn't want us to make it through. He doesn't want us to win. He don't want us to press on through. He wants us to just lay back. Well, Brother James is more capable than I am. I don't have a testimony. Hey, if God saved you, you've got a testimony. If God brought you out, you've got a testimony. If God has done anything for you, if you're alive today, you have a testimony. His mercies are renewed every morning. We would be consumed if it wasn't for our God. Jesus taught the Great Commission to His disciples, and it was simply this in two words: preach, the other teach. That's what we're to do. We're to reach the world. If you're sitting on a pew tonight and you don't feel a need as of yet to win the loss, it might be because you haven't really got this down in you, down in your soul. God wants all of us. We're all ministers of Christ. He wants us all to preach and to teach the gospel. Praise the Lord, Sister Frater. It's good to see you tonight. I wasn't sure you was going to make it. I'm sorry I missed your call. I was worried about you, sister. Well, He also told them, His disciples, to dwell at Jerusalem till they received the promise. We all know what the promise is, I believe. So I'm going to go through. He said, "But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So they in Acts 2 and 4 it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." What else did they receive besides the Holy Ghost? The love of Christ, His closeness, His companionship, His salvation, His deliverance. I've got a scripture here in Romans 12, verse 1 that come across my mind tonight. And 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Let's eat that. Let's let that settle in. Holy. Holy. Acceptable unto God. That's who it has to be acceptable to. Not to your brother, not to your sister, not to the man down the road, not to your neighbor, not to popular belief, but it has to be acceptable. It has to be holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you have to put things into your mind. The right things. The wrong things is of this world. And He said, "Get away from that. Come out from among them, thus saith the Lord, and be ye separate. Transform yourselves. That means work. You have to work at it. You don't just... I remember when I met my wife and we were dating, I had trouble thinking from the world that I'd come out of. And I couldn't talk very well. And one brother, Brother Jeremy Hart, I believe it was, told me, he said, "Brother," he said, "if you'll just begin to read the Word, he said, "God will heal your mind." I said, "You really believe that?" And he said, "Yeah." And I tried it. I tested him. And I started reading the Word. You know what? It just got to where the words could just flow. Now, you know what? I didn't have to go get medical care. I didn't have to pay the bucks. I didn't have to get endless counseling sessions. All I needed was this Word. We confuse things. The world's trying to muddy the water. Guys, it's really easy. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let's get on with this. So, the apostles, they enlisted to service, to serve the church, to serve the living God. And that's what God's calling us in this church to. We say we want revival. Do we really want revival? To have revival, you have to be obedient to the Word. To have revival, you have to be in unity. To have revival, you have to walk it. And these people had revival. Remember, they followed the plan of salvation. They followed what God said to do. They got the Holy Ghost. Peter preached the Acts 2:38 message. They were trained. I mean, these guys, they went out and they started working. They started working together. Hey, it says that Peter's standing up with the 11. They were standing shoulder to shoulder. They were putting a front up. They were pushing back at that enemy. They were pushing back because of the scoffers, the naysayers. They didn't want to believe. But Peter preached that message anyway. And they stood shoulder to shoulder and the truth came out. And many, many thousands were saved. Many thousands were baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. There were 3,000, in fact, that received the gift of the Holy Ghost that day alone. And many, many more to come. Healings and devils were cast out. Bands were loosed and more. I could go on and on. Acts 17 and 6 says, "These that have turned the world upside down have come." This is a message that can't be stopped. This is a message of love. You know what? I never found anywhere in the Word of God where God wasn't able to get through, where He wasn't able to find a way. He's going to use you and me to do it, folks. There's people, there's a dying world out there. We have to have compassion on. We have to win the loss. We have to work towards that goal. Paul was one of those who turned the world upside down. Paul taught many and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Many signs and wonders were wrought through Paul's ministry. We could read Acts, if you don't mind, if you'd like to turn with me. I think a visual would help you much more in chapter 16 of the book of Acts. I know you don't already have it, those of you that like to look. 16, verse 16. I'm just going to go through this. I'm just laying a foundation. I just ask you to stick with me for a few minutes. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination," we need to stay away from that stuff, folks, "met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And did she many days," I don't know about you, but I'd get a little aggravated, some lady following me for days and days and days on end and going on and on and on and crying out and basically pestering me. I'd be like Paul. I'd say, "Hey," I'd be grieved too. And he turned and he said to the Spirit, this is in verse 18, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. It happened, folks. That's the power of God. That's the power of service. That's the power of transformation. That's the power of the name, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of this message. It can't be stopped. There's nothing that can stand against that message. I don't care what it is. I don't care what kind of spirit it is that's coming against your home. If you will get down and get serious and get down to some serious prayer and just get tired of it and just get tired of the enemy trying to come in and pushing the storms and the waves over you and the filth and the funk, and you would just get down and say, God, I'm desperate. I need a move. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to be ye gone. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that you need, if it's a healing, I don't know what's binding you up tonight. I don't know what's binding you up, but I know by God Almighty that there is binding that's been placed on our people. And it don't have to be that way. It's as simple as this word says it is. All you have to do is call on that name. All you have to do is read the Word of God. All you have to do is be separate and make a decision. I've had enough of the filth. I've had enough of this new world. I've had enough of this garbage and gob that I'm seeing. I want a change in my life. Hallelujah. I want to live right. I want to make a change in my brother's life. I want to see something happen for God. I want to serve the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. In verse 19, and when her masters, you got to watch out when you start serving God. You can't play patty cake. You got to get down and get dirty. How many have done construction here? I'm serious. Can I, Brother Robbie, Brother Fry, Brother Kelvin, Brother Ferguson, I've done construction, my dad. You get stinking filthy sometimes. I work in a lake, and that slop smells like something that you don't want to crawl in. But you know what? There's just times you got to get down there and get in it. There's just times you've got to do things that you don't want to do. It may have a stink to you. You know, there's a lot of things Jesus dealt with that he had to deal with. You know, different filth and stench and stink and whatever else it was. But he had to deal with it to save the lost, praise God. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers. Why did they do it? Because they saw the hope of their gains was gone. They were using her. That's what happens when you play in the world. You think you know what you're doing. And the whole time the devil's using you. And you're losing all your promise to God. You're losing everything that God has for you. You're handing it away. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." They turn the world upside down. In 17 and 6, they say. What was they really doing more than just preaching the gospel, living a good, holy life? Sister Alicia testified of what the enemy's doing. We can all see it. We're all going through it. And they're saying they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Sounds like the United States, almost. They're working on that. They neither to observe, neither being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Laid many stripes on them. They put them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. We're not talking about a jail cell, folks. They put them down in there where it was nasty, dark, a few critters running around, just to be East Texas. It was filthy, funky. Think about the old medieval style dungeons that they had and the tortures and the things they went through and how filthy and nasty it was. That's where they were. That's what they were facing. It was dark, maybe even no light. They didn't know what was going to be of them. And they made their feet fast in the stocks. I don't know about you. I've seen some police officers nowadays that, you know, not trying to bash anybody, but some of them are pretty rough. And I don't believe these guys was any different. This wasn't a sweetheart club. They were in the innermost part of the dungeon for preaching the gospel. It's that simple. And Paul and Silas in Acts 16 through 24 was imprisoned, however, for casting a spirit out ultimately. For messing with the devil's play toy. For getting on the devil's turf. That's what he went to prison for. In Acts 16, 25 through 36, in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the Bible says in Job 35 and 10, he giveth a song in the night. I don't know about you. There's been a few nights I've laid there and all I could do is cry. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? I mean, just all you can do is just lay there and cry and call out on the Lord. But he gives a song in the night, and that's what they were doing. They were singing of all things. And the prisoners heard them. Woo! It was said one time, character is what you do when nobody else is around. Here they were in the bottom of the prison. There's no glory there. What you're really made out of is going to come out. It's really going to come out. I remember a time, this is not my lesson, I remember a time when I knew I had paid off some tickets and I had proof at home. And they cast me into a jail. And I don't know why, but I just had this feeling. It had to be God. That's the only reason I could be here. So I just started meditating. I asked for a Bible. They wouldn't let me have mine. So I asked for a Bible, and I started reading, and I started reading about Jonah. And I thought, well, wow, that's really neat. I just prayed, closed my eyes, opened the Bible, and that's where it hit. Ask God for something. That's what I get. So it was a confirmation of what God wanted to do. And it wasn't long. I was put with a bunch of guys. And then all the guys was separated from me and him. And it's just me and him. And you know, I got to testify and I got to start telling him about where God had brought me from and all the things God had done in my life and how he had changed my life, and started teaching him the truth. And it didn't take but a matter of minutes. I didn't know a lot, but that's all I needed to know to get his curiosity up, to get him to want to try to go to a church and be saved and change his life. And do you know that it was no time? It was no time, and they took me out of that jail. And I asked him, I said, so what's going to be the deal? What's going to happen with all these tickets? You know, how am I getting out? I mean, I'm supposed to be in here for 2 days to 2 weeks. Yeah, how in the world am I? They said, I don't know. We were just told to release you. We don't know. And I tried to get more answers, and I couldn't get any. And that's all I kept getting. Well, you're free. Just go on your way. That's all there is to it. And I was in the hands of God. So folks, it's not always the worst thing in the world to be in prison. All of them heard them singing. Do you know what a blessing it would be if you was in a place like that and somebody had the real thing inside because they had been cultivating it. They had been nurturing it. They had been exploring God's Word. And then when you need it the most, they don't give you a Bible when you want it every time. They didn't when I was in there. I didn't have a Bible to show this guy. I had to know it. And God wanted me to show it to him. And it was just a wonderful thing that God gave me the ability to do that. And okay, so they heard them, and suddenly in 26 there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. I don't know about you, but we've been praying for some doors to be opened. Now, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you out of the eyes that God gave me the other night, here, walking these pews, touching them, asking them, God, what does this one need? What does this one need? Now, I'm not lifting me up because it was God, I'm telling you. But the doors was opened. The bands was loosed. We got some bands around here. We have bands around here. And God's able to break them. God's able to break them, church. We have doors that we've been wanting open. We want revival. We say we want revival. What started all this? They were in a dark place, right? They were in the dungeon. The enemy was fighting them, and they just began to start singing. They just began to start praising and just started worshiping. And you know, it didn't take anything awesome. It just took two guys that had it in them. Two guys that just had it in them to worship the Lord. You don't have to. God's no respecter of persons, church. Troy James is nobody. Troy James is nobody. I haven't made it. I fight with this flesh just like you do. I don't have any more power than God gives. Just to do the same thing, just to praise, just to worship. And but buddy, those bands started popping. Can you imagine what that looked like? You're sitting there, boom, boom. You're in the darkest, nastiest hole. There's rats around you. It's slimy. There's other stuff. And all of a sudden, stuff's breaking loose, and the doors are flinging open. And you know what the jailer did? He freaked out. He was a Roman guard. You know what happened? If they all took off and just started running, they would put him to death. But you know what I love about Paul? He's a real Christian. He's a real Christian. In a split moment, he didn't have to think it through. That guard was ready to grab his sword and kill himself. And he hollered. He raised his voice. And he said, no. He said, well, what does it say? And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep. We have some that are asleep. And when they start seeing God move, guess what's going to happen, church? And seeing in the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. When I read that, I thought of John the Baptist. He was coming, he was preaching. He was the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And this is just another man of God, just another man of God with compassion that's going out, and he's saying, whoa, wait a minute, stop. Don't do that. Don't do this thing. He could have escaped. He could have been long gone. But in a split moment, he didn't have to think about it. He says, stop, wait a minute. There's something that you don't know yet. There's something I have to tell you about. I'm not worried about my freedom. I'm worried about your soul. I want to see you saved. I want to see God's will done in your life. It's not for nothing. God didn't save you to sit on a church pew and do nothing. He saved your soul that the others can be won. He saved your soul that he could get close to you and he could sup with you. And you could talk with him and he could talk with you. And he could take care of your burdens and your needs. And he could deliver you. And he could take you out of this bondage. And he could break the chains and the shackles and the things that the enemy's trying to bind on your families. Don't be blind. Don't be foolish. Don't think you've got it made, America. Look around you. Hell is coming at this country with everything it's got. They're trying to take your freedom. They're taking it. Get ready. Make your mind up. Make your calling and election sure. So when the time comes, you're ready. Get ready like Paul got ready. Get ready to serve with everything you've got. Be real with God. Be a real Christian. Yes, sir, we got to be. And I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then he called for a light. My, my, my. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. There's a short time, church. We have a very short window. If you don't see it, listen to the people of God that are looking in the Word, that have the sight, the vision, the spiritual vision to see that God's coming back. Get yourselves ready. Make ready the way of the Lord. And he sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Man, I love the Lord. He talks about how he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Here's the jailer. I don't know about you. I've been in jail a couple of times. I'm not a criminal, but I've been in jail a couple of times. And I've been on this side, and I've been on that side. And I'd a lot rather be on this side than the inside. But this time, the roles were switched. And all of a sudden, it was the guard that was held captive by God. Now, if there had been an evil bone in his body, Paul could have snuffed his life out. But he was concerned about one thing. He was concerned about the life of another. He was concerned about the work of God taking place. And he sprang in and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Hey, don't worry about what the enemy's doing, guys. God'll change it. He'll turn it around. And brought them out and, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Before it was probably mocking and scourging and beatings. We know he was beat. They were, Paul and Silas. But all of a sudden it's, hey, wait a minute. What can I do to be saved? And he wasn't playing. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were into his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a turnaround. This is the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people. And God turns it around. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Now this is really cool. You think about it. The prison doors was already broke open. All the shackles fell off. This other fellow learns about salvation that was his enemy. He don't lose his life, and on and on and on. And they could have walked, but still, the next morning, the guards come, the head guys, and they get him out anyway. He didn't lose his opportunity for freedom. He gained it by following what he might have failed that trial. He might have not come through. But see, when you're putting it in here, when you're really the real McCoy, when you're really earnestly seeking God and you've prepared yourself, when these tests come, you will pass it. With the power of God, you will pass it. You will make it. Now, Paul had freedom in desperation. In that prison cell, he was free. Was he not? He was freed the very next day. Was he not? All the doors flung open. He was free. God can do anything, church. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. This is the message. This is the message that can't be stopped. I'm going to quickly just ask a couple of verses to be read from the audience. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. You got that, Brother Fry? 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. You can take that one as well, or whoever. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Hebrews 10 and 23. All right, church. We preaching about the word here. Y'all going to help me out. All right, I'm going to ask, does anybody have 2 Corinthians 12 and 9? You have that? All right. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Does anybody have that one? All right. How about Hebrews 10 and 23 or Deuteronomy 7 and 9? Okay. Brother Fry, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Okay. Margaret, Hebrews 10 and 23. You got Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, Brother Fry? It's just a few scriptures. All right. And Brother Fry, 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. You're going right back to the book. I have Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to promise. I believe I gave that to Margaret. Anyhow, we've got a few scriptures, and there was some really good scriptures there still. But we can lean on him. Amen. We can lean on him. But we have to give ourselves. We have to hold fast. We have to hold on and do what we know we must do, despite the cost. Despite what we think the cost might be, because Paul was free. All right, the changing power of Christ. Ironically, Paul himself was once one who persecuted the church. In Acts chapter 8 and 4, Jesus asked Saul, "Saul, why persecutest thou me?" God reached down on his level right where Saul was and revealed himself to him. And I don't know about you, but I know that God, many times he's come down to my level and he said, "Hey, Brother Troy, hardhead, you got something in your life, and I need to take it out. Will you work with me?" And you know, that's what God did with him. He said, "Hey, Paul," he said, "why are you persecuting me?" He said, why are you persecuting this Jesus name, apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled church?" Saul wasn't persecuting another. He wasn't persecuting the popular belief. He was persecuting this church right here. And I'm not talking about a little. I'm talking about things that we don't even probably want to mention here. But God gave him a new name. He saw something different in Paul. In Saul. He called him Paul, and sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because I have a new name, and you have a new name. And if you don't have that name, you can have it. And Brother Ryan, tonight you're going to be buried in that name. You've got that name. It's your name. You have a new name. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. We have a new hope in him. And isn't it amazing how God changes our lives and then uses it? I mean, I was a bum. I wasn't worth nothing. And God just took me, and I'm still not worth much. He pulled me out, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he took care of me. This is a love that can't be stopped. Now, me and you, we gripe and we complain and we talk about all those that are on the news persecuting us. We talk about those that are trying to come against this church. And granted, they're wrong for doing what they're doing, just like Saul was. But God can take them and make them the greatest adversaries you can imagine. They can make them the greatest people of God that we've ever seen. They might even be the ones that pave a way to get us through some things. They might even be mighty, mighty apostles, preachers, teachers. I mean, God can use them. So let's just pray for them. Let's pray for our enemies. Let's not get our eyes on the enemy too much. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church upon a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you really believe it? We need to forge forward harder than ever before. Hey, I know I'm not just, you know, blowing and going here, but this is the Lord's message, and I mean, it's inside of me. I wish I could preach it like I'd like to, but it's still the Word of God. It's still what He wanted, and we really need to adhere to this. We really need to hear this, church. God's wanting to do a work in this church. God's wanting to give us revival. He's wanting to prepare the way. He's wanting to get it ready, but He's got to have people that will follow. And you can imagine, if you're going to lay your life down for God, you might have to go through some things. You know, we want to be on the glory side. Oh, I want to preach. That's what I want to do. I want to go into the missions field. I talked to Brother Grissom about that a little bit. But you think about it. I took just a couple of thoughts down. Before the land of milk and honey was bondage, They were going through some things. There was a lot of struggling. Well, who do we believe? Oh, Aaron and Moses, you know, he can't even talk. He's got to have that dude over there to talk for him because he stutters so much. He can't even talk. How do we know God's with him? Well, it might be a cloud that's following you and all this other stuff. Joseph endured. He was betrayed. He was put in bondage and imprisonment by his own loved ones. By his own loved ones. Have you ever been betrayed by somebody you really, really loved in the church? It's going to happen. The devil's here too. You remember Job? The time that God and the devil was talking about Job was when he was at the altar praying. If you're going to answer this call, there might be some things that you have to go through. But because of it, he obtained the will of God. He became the salvation of Egypt. Can you imagine? And written in the Holy Scriptures of the Almighty God. Job was tested and came through pure as gold. Before David was king, he was a servant of the Lord first. And went through much adversity. God's looking for three Hebrew children to stand. We like to preach about the three Hebrew children and going through the fire, and I'm sure I'll preach on it because that's an excellent message. But before they made it through the fire, they had to face it. It was there. It was a barrier. They didn't know God was going to save them. They made it clear in the Scriptures. But they were willing to lay it down. Not my will, but thine will be done. They didn't care about whether or not they made it through. I mean, I'm sure they did. But if it meant compromising, if it meant not coming through pure, if it meant not making it, they didn't need it. Out of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, they were the only three standing. But because of it, many ended up finding God in a sea of religions. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like us today. Job, wealthy. I'm going back to Job. Job, wealthy and blessed. We see that part of him. But he said, and though he was tried, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And he came through, didn't he? Pure as gold. Elijah, Elijah's servant was scared of the evil king's army that surrounded him. I don't know about you. I'm really picturing real night, some rough guys, about, you know, two of me, and swords, a huge army, huge barrage of artillery, whatever they have. And they've surrounded the prophet's house. They hate this guy. Why? All he did was preach the truth. All he did was stood for righteousness. Hey, you get ready for it. The enemy may be encamped around you right now. You may be seeing some walls of adversity. You may be seeing some, oh my, if I do this, what's fixing to happen? Like that young man did. But what did Prophet Elijah say? He said, God, open his eyes so he could see. He said, just open his eyes so he could see. And he said, there be more with us than they be with they. He saw all the heavens open up. And I'm going to quickly tell you, there was a time when I was, I think, 26, and I prayed every single night. Can't say that now. Telling on myself. I prayed every single night. I didn't fail. But this one night, I just didn't pray. And the Lord was there. I was just so tired. And I let God down. I let Him down. I let my friends down. I let the people in the church down. Those people that needed me to pray for them, I wasn't there for them that night. I wasn't fighting their battles that night. I didn't really realize what I was doing when I was praying every night. I knew that God was touching them, but I was tired. I'm human, even at 25 with plenty of vigor. And so I go to sleep. I wake up with two spirits outside my window. And it was the nastiest, stinking spirits I've ever felt. And I was actually upset. I said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I just started praying them away. And they left. And I just got so mad at the devil for doing that to me, for sneaking up on me and doing what he did. And I started praying so strong, and the Holy Ghost come in stronger than I've ever felt it in those prayers. And he come in that room, and all I could do was just lay there and just tears stream down my face and speak in tongues while the Spirit gave the utterance. And I just began to just pour that alabaster box out to God, speaking things I didn't even know. I didn't have a clue. And all of a sudden I found myself in a world where it was dark and there was nothing there. It was a void. And I saw a horseman, and he come out of the dark from nowhere, and he was coming at full gallop, and he had armor, and he came and he rode right past me. And I turned and I looked and I watched him as he went from person to person that I knew. And he went up to those people, and he pulled out a sword, and it was a two-edged sword, and he started cutting, and he started chopping, and what he was chopping and cutting at was bonds. He started chopping at shackles. They were like the old shackles with pins, and they were hand-fashioned, and he started cutting chain. And things that these people were bound with. I didn't know what was on each one of them, but I could see shackles, and I could see them, and there was balls hanging behind them, and they couldn't move, and they were bound, and the enemy was tying them up. And he was trying to bring them down. He was doing his best to drag them down, and I could see it. It was real. It was real as I'm here today. It was real. It wasn't fake. And I could feel it all. I could feel it. I could see it as real as this is today. Your faces, it was real. And what was happening was real. And he would go from person to person to person. And he would run at full gallops. And he was in battle. And he was fighting. And he was cutting. And he was taking those bonds. Some, a little bit of the band would loose. Some, it would cut mostly through the band. Or it would cut a chain off. Or it would cut something else off. And it was getting rid of those things that was hanging on people, that was tied to people. Those prayers were doing something. I didn't understand it. And as he came back to me, he was riding at full gallop. And the horse was a brown horse. And the armor was a little bit tarnished and rusty. You could see where he had been through some things. And it was so awesome because what is in the book of Elijah, I saw it. I saw all of heaven behind him. And they were riding with him. And they were behind him. And they were fighting the battle with him. He wasn't alone. But it was the mightiest army I've ever seen in my life. And there was fire all through the heavens. And God was with them. You could feel the power of God surging through. You could feel it. It was so strong. And it was God showing me something. And I didn't understand it at the time, but that steed, he came and he rode right back up beside my bed. And I opened my eyes. And it was like somebody was there, but I couldn't see him. But I could feel it. It was so neat. And it was an angel. And I wanted to know what it meant. And the angel, I didn't have to say a word. That was what's so cool. He just knew. Things are different in the spirit. He just knew, and he started telling me, all these people in this vision are people you've been praying for. And this is heaven fighting with you. And he said, the horseman, it's you. And he said, the two-edged sword, he said, it's the word of God. And he said, it's cutting. And it's working, and it's fighting, and it's moving, and it's doing things, and it's taking care of the needs of the people. It's moving forward, and it's winning the battles. See, we don't see that side of it. We don't see the mighty angels of God fighting. We don't see the fire and the flash and the horsemen. We don't see the armor. We don't see all the mighty angels flying with the swords through the sky. We don't see the battle as it truly is. God showed me that we need to wake up. We're asleep. We're at slumber. We're letting it out. We're letting the opportunity go out of our hand, and there's no reason for it. We're thinking things are going to be all right. But we're forgetting the part where we're supposed to lay our lives on the line for Him. We're forgetting the part where we have to obey the gospel, where we have to keep following that message. Hey guys, this is a message. It won't quit. He didn't die for nothing. The power of God's real. The name's real. Baptism in Jesus' name is real. This message is real. If it wasn't, the devil wouldn't be pursuing you with everything he's got. He wouldn't be trying to tear you down and take what you've got left. He wouldn't be trying to blow the smoke screens up and show you all the bad things and scaring you. He wouldn't be trying to slow you down if it wasn't real. You still have to obey the message. You still have to be baptized in Jesus' name. You still have to preach the truth. You still have to teach others. You still have to pray at night. You still have to read the Word. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord as David did. You still have to do it. Now, all I'm saying tonight, church, is that God's with us. The message is still the message. It's still true. God still loves you. God's still with you. Don't get scared of what the enemy's doing. Don't get your mind on that. Keep your mind on the Word. Hey, Brother Martin said it the other night. He said, why do you think? Now, this is a minister of God. And all of us see it. It's being preached about so much. How could you not? The devil is fighting us with everything he's got. It hasn't stopped us, has it? What are you worried about? You need to press on. You need to push on. You need to say another prayer. You need to see that soul saved. You need to see those bands loosed. You need to see your family touched. Because God's going to do it. Hey, can you not see all the faces that are in here that God has been touching? Can you not see? Hey, Sister McGeehee, God knows you need a job. God knows. God knows what we need. He's going to take care of us. And I'm not the best preacher in the world, but it's the message God wanted for this church. It's been confirmed over and over and over and over. That's what we have that they don't have. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the truth. We have the message. We have the name. We have what the apostles fought for. We have what they died for. We have what they lived for. We have what they preached for. It's still here. It's still in you. You still have it. Don't stop. Run with it. Run with it. I mean, run with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. I mean, push. I mean, push hard. Push against the enemy. Push back. Push against the devil. Say, you know what? I've had enough. In Jesus' name, I've had enough. I'm not taking it anymore. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you off that saint. I rebuke this thing. I rebuke this enemy. I rebuke this. Thank you, Jesus. And believe it. You don't have to be a great warrior. You don't have to be pray 10 times a day or 10 times a week. You just got to love the Lord. You just got to, when you see it coming and you see it's hard and you see it's tough, you just got to go on, hey, you know what? I'm going to praise Him anyhow. My wife, the other day, I was laying in bed and her arm was hurting so bad. Oh, it was hurting bad. You know what? I didn't know what else to do. I started praying for her. We don't have a money for a doctor. I started praying for her, and I just didn't feel like nothing was happening. And I was like, oh, God, this, you know. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to stop asking. I'm going to just start believing. And I just started worshiping, and I started praising, and I started shouting. I started calling on the name of the Lord. I started thanking Him. And you know what? I didn't quit thanking Him. I just kept on shouting, and I kept on praising. I knew it bothered her a little bit, but I don't care. She was healed. God healed that arm. He can do it, church. And these things we're fighting, these battles, they're going to be gone. You notice all these guys that you read about and everybody that I've talked about, it makes it clear in the Word of God they went through it. Even Stephen, when he was stoned to death, it says he went to sleep. If you'll read about the many martyrs, a lot of times God took them before they ever really... I mean, God's there. He's not... You just need to trust Him. Look at Elijah, man. Went up my chariot. Hey, if Elijah went up a chariot, you can go up a chariot. Why does it have to, why you got to sit on the pew till you rot? What if God just goes ahead and says, you know what? you don't have to go this way. You've been coming my way for a long time. You've been reading the Word. You've been believing. You've been doing what I asked. Why don't you come with me? Why don't you just come on with me? We look through a glass darkly. But later we'll see face to face. But till then, you have to keep believing. You have to keep pushing. You have to keep trying. You have to keep on calling on God. Brother Ryan, I applaud you. Through all the crud you go through at work, having to stand and be a man and be a family man and take care of your kids and go through all you've gone through and stand back up, that's making the difference between a winner and a loser, church. That man's a winner. He's going to obtain it. It's going to happen. It's real. This is real. Thank you, Jesus.
It's real, it's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. It's real, it's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. It's real, it's real. I know it's real. this Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real, it's real, it's real. I know it's real, this Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real, it's real, it's real. I know it's real, this Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real, it's real, it's real. I know it's real, this Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real, it's real, it's real. I know it's real, this Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real, it's real, it is real. And I know it's real, this Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I know it's real because I have tried it personally. Amen. I didn't just come to criticize, but I tried it, and it's real. Amen. I encourage you to try it. Before you knock it, try it. Amen. One sign I saw in a church said, try Jesus. Said, if you don't like him, the devil will take you back. Amen. Just go ahead and try it. Hallelujah.